Good morning to each one of you. Greetings in the name of Jesus. It's good to be here with you at chapel this morning to see the brothers and sisters here and extend a welcome for any of you to visit us at Light of Truth as you have opportunity. I believe Sunday morning is one of the best times of the week to do that. If traffic is all right, you should be able to make it there in a little under 2 hours from here. Unfortunately, we got behind an accident this morning and were delayed a little bit. It's sobering seeing the accident, and I'm pretty sure there was a fatality just judging the scene and the sheet draped over the car. So, reminder as we travel the highways. I would add a prayer request. New York for Jesus is this week. And I believe there probably is a few young people from this congregation that are going to be a part of that. So you as a congregation can keep that in your prayers Thursday, Friday, and Saturday as well. Message title this morning. The message this morning is born out of my personal reading through the book of Deuteronomy a number of months ago. And I guess it's a fault of the preacher when he doesn't look at the Sunday school lesson before he prepares or decides on the message. So I think there's enough there, and we're not just sticking with Deuteronomy in the message, but that is where the inspiration came from. The title is When Forgetfulness Becomes Sin. When forgetfulness becomes sin. In my personal reading through the book of Deuteronomy, I was just challenged numerous times about the commands to not forget, forget not, or on the opposite side of that is to remember. I don't think we need a whole lot of introduction to the thought of forgetfulness. It's in our humanity, our human nature. It's just something that happens. And it's been suggested that maybe there's three levels of forgetfulness. The first level being forgetting things. We forget where our phone is, where we put our glasses, or then we discover they're on our face already. Where are my shoes? Where did I place my car keys? Forgetting things. Or the second level can become a forgetfulness of people. We become distracted by the busyness of life when we fail to show love and pay attention to those around us. We forget important dates, birthdays, anniversaries, or that we were supposed to meet someone, or what time we were supposed to be there. But a third level, and more importantly, this lifestyle of forgetfulness or being inattentive to people can and will lead to a forgetfulness of God. We can be sitting right here in the middle of this worship service this morning, and yet our minds can be far away. Maybe it's to a discussion we had before church, to my work project for tomorrow, to what is cooking in the oven at home, you name it. Most of us likely forgot at least some of the songs we sang this morning. Maybe because we weren't paying attention, or maybe because we just sing on autopilot. Now, like I said, forgetfulness is a natural process. None of us remember everything that happened to us from the day we were born. We wouldn't survive if we did. Time has a way of taking away or healing some of the bad memories. And there are some things we should choose to forget. Philippians 3 encourages us to forget the things that are behind. So in this morning's message, I would like to believe, or I would suggest, that there are two types of forgetfulness that lead to sin. The first one I would call careless forgetfulness. And the second one I would suggest is deliberate forgetfulness. Now, maybe these become closely associated together, because carelessness can lead to deliberate choices. We can make a mistake once, but if we do the same thing again and again, is it a mistake or is it a deliberate choice to learn, to neglect to learn from our past mistakes? Is it a deliberate choice that will turn into a bad habit? And so the purpose of this message, I would like to think about what is important to remember and to encourage us to a lifestyle that aids remembering instead of forgetting. This message is about our priorities. What is important to me? And how can I order my life, the rest of my life, to remember what is important? Open up to Deuteronomy chapter 4, if you would, for the introduction to the first point. I have, I believe, 7 points, 6 main points, and then some concluding thoughts or questions in this message this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 4, my point number one is this: forgetfulness becomes sin when we forget the word of the Lord. Forgetfulness becomes sin when we forget the word of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 to 13. Verse 9, Deuteronomy 4, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire into the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice." Verse 9, "Take heed, lest thou forget the things which thy eyes have seen." He was calling them to remembrance the day they stood before the Lord at Mount Horeb, the day God, time period where God gave them the Ten Commandments. And he talks, this was a audible word of the Lord that they had been hearing here. Today we have the word in written form, and we were already encouraged on this point already this morning. But we have a responsibility before God to God's law and commandments. And forgetfulness becomes sin when we forget the word of the Lord. He encourages them here to teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons, to the children and to the grandchildren. Teach your children to remember God's word. Talk about it as you go through the day. Train them to listen to the voice of their father. We have a dual responsibility. Back to chapter 8, verse 11. "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day." Now, we have a responsibility to read. Pick up your Bible, read it. But then you have a responsibility to not forget, or can I say, to understand and obey. So it's not just enough to be listening to my Bible audibly read to me as I'm going about my day's responsibilities, but if it's not soaking in, if it's not going down into my heart, if it's not making a difference, I'm forgetting the word. If I'm not understanding and comprehending it, it is being forgotten. Read the verses in James chapter 1 where it talks about the word of God functioning as a mirror. James chapter 1, verse 23. "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Forgetfulness becomes sin when we forget the word of the Lord, when we forget to read it, and when we forget to put it into practice. Point number two, closely related, forgetfulness becomes sin when we forget to worship. I don't have a whole lot of scripture necessarily that we're going to turn to for this point, but it is an established fact that we are created to worship. Humans are created to worship. We will all worship something. We are creatures of worship. Our lives should be ordered around this principle. And the years I was a member at Swatara, I remember Brother Ira Mast, often in his announcements when he would talk about a service opportunity, he would also remind us that worship is more important than service, or worship precedes service. Worship comes before service. And what he was teaching us is that our hearts need to be in the right place. Our hearts need to be pure. Our hearts need to be in order, or our service will be worthless. Because all worship is service, but not all service is worship. All worship is service, but not all service is worship. Forgetfulness becomes sin when we forget to worship. Thinking of some aspects of worship, what are some aspects of worship that we should be remembering? Well, we remember Christ's suffering and death. Communion is a worship service, it's a worship experience. When you, as a congregation, observe the Lord's Supper. 2 Timothy 2:8. I'm going to read that verse. I didn't put it in my notes here. 2 Timothy 2:8 talks about remembering that Jesus was raised from the dead. Second Timothy 2:8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. When have you last just pondered the death and resurrection of Jesus? When have you last pondered what that does for you in your Christian life? When have you last pondered the resurrection power? When have you last considered, is my life reflecting that power? Do I have a grasp of that power? And so worship requires time. Time set aside when we could be doing something else. It requires dedicated time. Another aspect of worship that we dare not forget is collective worship. Hebrews 10:25 tells us we dare not forsake the assembling of believers. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. Aspects of worship that we can lose out on is prayer, singing, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Worship as we observe God's design and hand in nature around us, in everything around us. We can worship as we remember that God is the creator, God is the sustainer, God is our redeemer. We can find all those aspects even by just looking at the simple things of nature. Forgetfulness becomes sin when we forget to worship. Third point, you may turn with me to Psalm 103. Forgetfulness becomes sin when we forget his benefits. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 6. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Forgetfulness becomes sin when we forget his benefits. Some of his benefits we could think about are listed here, and this is just a short list, but it mentioned forgiveness of sin, redemption from destruction, healing from diseases, loving kindness, tender mercy, satisfaction with good things, renewing of strength for work, righteousness and justice for all. When you go to giving your church-wide brotherhood assistance offering, maybe you should remember his benefits before you decide what amount you put in the offering. Would that make a difference? This list of benefits that the world is desperately searching is a list that the world is desperately searching for, and few know where to find what we have been blessed with. It is sin to forget or be too busy to be thankful to our Lord for what he is doing for us. The parable of the 10 lepers, only one went back and thanked God for healing. I wonder how many times I'm among the nine. Back to Deuteronomy. I'd like to look at a few more verses here in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy on this point. Thinking about remembering what we have been delivered from and how God has delivered us. This was Moses, the words to the children of Israel, verse 2 of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Moses was reminding them, remember what God has done for you. Parents, older people, do we talk to the younger ones? Do we tell them stories? Do we recount what God has done for me and my experience? And call to remembrance what God can still do in the difficult and the trying situations maybe that we are currently experiencing. Moses called them to remembrance how their clothing didn't wear out, and the shoes didn't give out, and their feet stayed the same size those 40 years. Their feet didn't swell, and how God fed them with manna every morning. And he was saying, you need to keep telling your children. We need to keep talking about this. We need to keep reminding the people the benefits of God, what God has done for us, what God will do for us. 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll break in reading at verse 5. We'll read to verse 9. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, that they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his own old sins. See a list of qualities here that we as Christians are supposed to be building on and growing in our lives. And the verse 9 simply tells us if we lack in these things, we have a problem. Maybe our problem is that we're not remembering something. We're forgetting that we were purged from our old sins. I believe it is good for us. I believe this verse teaches us it is good for us to reflect. It is good for us to reflect on what God has delivered and spared us from. It is not pride to reflect on that if we're reflecting on it because This is what God has done. It's not what I have done to purge myself from my old sins. It is what God has done. And by my choices of choosing to follow God and live a life after God, a life of godliness, this is what God has done. And we need to remember, forgetfulness becomes sin when we forget his benefits. One of the benefits that maybe we are tempted to forget is just the fact that the Lord taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." If you get up tomorrow morning, is it easy or hard to remember that everything I have today is because God is allowing me to have it? And if God would decide today that there's no bread in the house, there would be no bread in the house. Give us this day our daily bread. And so many times I forget how much our existence, my existence, relies on God. Because, well, I can go to work and I can earn money and I can go to the store and I can go to the restaurant and I can buy what I want, and only because of God's benefits can we do that. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 9, still thinking on this point of forgetting not his benefits. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Verses 6 to 8. Again here, they were being reminded of their past sins. Verse 6, "Understand therefore that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came unto this place. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord. Also in Horeb ye provoked the Lord to wrath, so that the Lord was angry with you to have destroyed you. When I was gone up into the mount to receive the tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I neither did eat bread nor drink water." Moses is recalling to their memory that all the times they had walked away from God, all the times they had hardened their hearts, and he calls them a stiff-necked people in verse 6. Not a compliment. Why were they being reminded of their past sins? Well, just like them, everything we have is not because of our own goodness or righteousness. It is because of God's mercy. Just like the children of Israel, our tendency is to be stiff-necked and forgetful. And Isaiah tells us that all our righteousness can be compared to filthy rags. And we dare not forget that. We dare not fall into the temptation to think that I have what I deserve because I worked for it and because I did the right things. Yes, there's an element of truth to that, but the basis underlying truth is I have everything I have because God has allowed me to have it and hath given it to me. Just like Moses was telling the children of Israel, you're not going into the land of Canaan because you did very much right. You're going into the land of Canaan because of the mercy of God. And if there's anything I have in life, it's because of God's mercy. And as we view our possessions that way, suddenly it brings a change. It's not because I deserve it, it's because God is merciful to me. Point number 4. Forgetfulness becomes sin when we fail to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. I had to think of these verses in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. This is maybe a little more to the young people here this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Find that here, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And I could continue reading, but for the sake of time, I will not. But I'll just remind us, the principle of a Creator begs us as created beings to remember that we are not our own. Young people, remember that. You're not your own. You are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Remember him today in your youth, before you and I are another day older. Ecclesiastes goes on to tell us a little bit about that aging process and how our senses begin to dim and we start losing as tight of a grasp as we once thought we had on life. Forgetfulness becomes sin when we fail to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. I wish that I had remembered earlier. I wish that I had earnestly served my Creator instead of being casual about sin. I wish that I had not tried to fool myself that sin doesn't affect the relationship with my Creator God. And so I believe it is good for our young teens to make a conscious decision to serve the Lord, to earnestly study His Word, to seek out God's will for their life. When we choose to ignore the call that our Creator God is placing on our life, forgetfulness becomes sin. Point number 5. Invite your attention to Numbers chapter 11 for this one. Another part of the story of the children of Israel. I entitled this point, When Our Memory Becomes Selective, Forgetfulness Leads to Sin. When our memory becomes selective, forgetfulness leads to sin. There's an account of the children of Israel here in Numbers 11, and I'm going to just read verses 4 to 6. It's an account of the people complaining. You can read that in verse 1, and they cried to Moses, verse 2. And verse 4, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Do you see the tone? What they were remembering here? Do you see any selectiveness in their memory, knowing the story of the children of Israel? Do you remember what they actually had experienced in the children of Israel, in the land of Egypt? Do you remember the slavery and the bondage they were in? But what did they remember? They remembered the leeks and the garlics and the cucumbers and the melons and the fish, and now they said, all we got to eat is this tasteless manna. Do you ever see yourself there? Your memory becomes selective. And it's easy to look at the past and remember the good things and forget the reality of the trials and the hardships and the bondage to sin and how they had longed for deliverance from this evil regime. And so when our memory becomes selective, forgetfulness leads to sin. When we willingly remember the good and forget the bad that went with it. In our present day, I believe this is the social media dilemma. Because on social media, what gets posted is the good. And you never see the reality, or very rarely see the reality of the rest of the story. And so you look at social media and it's selective memory sometimes. When we long for the things we did in the old life before we choose Christ, forgetfulness turns us into sin. When we choose to live in and long for the past instead of serving God and looking for ways to serve God faithfully in the present, we will become out of touch with reality. Our memory will become selective. Forgetfulness will lead us into sin, and the road becomes a downward spiral. Point number six. Again, back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm going to read verses 11 to 20 this time. And I'll give the point and then I'll read the verses. What I've written down here: when our forgetfulness is a result of choosing a self-centered, prosperous, and affluent lifestyle, forgetfulness has become sin. I'll read that again. When our forgetfulness is a result of choosing a self-centered, prosperous, and affluent lifestyle, forgetfulness has become sin. I'll read verses 11 to 20. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and draught, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. You notice the story, the trajectory, the prophecy. They're going to come into the land, and their flocks and their herds and their houses and their silver and their gold and everything, they became wealthy, if I can say it that way. And you can trace this back through, and you can actually later on observe that it actually happened. But Moses was giving them the warning: when this happens, don't forget God. Verse 13 and 14. Verse 14, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. I wrote this down on my notes. Self-centered living is the essence of sin. And I believe this is what Moses was warning them about. If we forget God, easy wealth, affluence, and prosperity will become our false gods. And we are foolish to think that our end will be any different than what is promised here to the children of Israel, because we still serve the same God today. When our forgetfulness is the result of choosing and allowing a self-centered, prosperous, and affluent lifestyle, forgetfulness has become sin. In conclusion, point number seven, I give this as my final point, a number of questions. If you remember, I said at the beginning, or raised the question at the beginning, near the beginning, about the two kinds of forgetfulness, careless forgetfulness and deliberate forgetfulness. I would like to conclude by asking, is there a difference? Whether, I wrote this down for point number 7, whether our forgetfulness is a result of indifferent carelessness or deliberate choice, forgetfulness leads to sin. There may be a few here, or maybe it's someone you know, that is choosing to deliberately forget. But I would guess that many of us sitting here today are probably closer to falling into the camp of indifference or carelessness. Indifferent carelessness. Maybe it's just a little carelessness about the Word of God, and we excuse it. But I would like to ask, I wrote down these questions to ponder my own heart, and I'll read them here. You can think about them with me. Is there a difference in end results if we choose not to read and obey God's Word? We just simply choose not to read it. Or if we simply become too busy or disorganized to have time for it? Is there a difference if we choose not to worship or allow our undisciplined minds to become distracted in worship? Is there a difference if we deliberately choose not to assemble? There's a lot of people out there today that have chosen not to go to church. But maybe we struggle with just making it a priority, and by Wednesday evening we're just too tired to get anything out of it. So is it worth going? Is there a difference between those who choose not to go and those who choose not to get anything out of it? What about choosing not to pray at all, or choosing to pray and allowing ourselves to become distracted in prayer and not really praying anyway? Is there a difference between choosing not to follow God at all, or choosing to follow Him, but then taking the credit to ourselves for our accomplishments instead of remembering His benefits? Is there a difference? As a youth, is there a difference between delaying the initial decision to become a Christian? I don't think you should do that, and I don't think you should do the second one either. Or making the initial decision, but then living youthful years with indifference and a careless attitude about my Christian life? You can delay the decision, or you can make the decision and live an indifferent Christian life. Is there a difference? Is there a difference between having a bad memory, never remembering God, or a good and selective memory with a complaining, ungrateful, and lusting spirit? Is there a difference? Is there a difference between never becoming a Christian, in quotation marks, never naming the name of Christ, or becoming one that is quickly consumed by a self-centered and careless attitude regarding the snares of this world, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life? Is there a difference? For a concluding verse, turn with me to John chapter 14. I found this one to be comforting, thinking about remembering. The words of Jesus and a promise to us. Verse 26, John 14, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." The Holy Ghost will do that for us. He will recall to our memory the things that we need to remember as we fill our minds up with the teachings of Jesus, with the Word of God. But there's a catch. We need to be quiet and still enough to listen to the voice, the still small voice of God. At the judgment day, when we stand before God, will He accept the answer, "I forgot"? Would you like to try that? I think we would all agree that no, we don't want to risk that answer on that day. And so, as a reminder to myself, I'd like to weed that answer out of my life now. If I'm habitually forgetful person today, I will likely try that answer then. God bless you all. And may the Holy Spirit continue to work in our lives and help us remember. And I just encourage us, read the Word, understand the Word, obey the Word, and take time to worship, take time to listen to God's Spirit. Let's kneel for prayer.